All right. We'll talk to you a little bit tonight about fruit inspection, or how to spot a fake. You know, there's a lot of that in the world today. Amen. There's a lot of one guy said a lot of isms and schisms out there, and it's unless you know the Word of God, you could get caught up in that. Remember the Jim Jones thing? And others like that. Those were not dummies by no means. They were intelligent people. A lot of them were. And it's not a matter of our education. It's not a matter of, I should say our secular education. But our spiritual education is what we need to emphasize, to look at. Get your Bible. I didn't write the page number down. Uh-oh. Somebody's going to have to help me. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Somebody call out the page number when we get there.
6.
That's pretty easy. Page 6. Matthew 7 is on 6, huh?
I was going to be on 7 there for a minute. I've heard a look.
Well, we'll start in verse 15, so it might be on 7. All right, Matthew 7:15 says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravished wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is thrown down, cut down and thrown into fire." Look at verse 20. "Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." Now, what's he talking about by their fruits, do you suppose? Anybody?
Actions, words.
Yep, their actions, exactly. We watch people's actions many, many times. I've talked about that, and you know, what do people see in me when I'm not wearing my chaplain shirt, when I'm not in the chapel or not in church on your everyday, you know, work? What do people see? I pray they see Jesus. I pray that my actions and reactions are Christ-like. That when something is wrong, how do I react? It's easy to be spiritual when things are going good, isn't it? And we see a lot on television today. I mean, praise God for the media we have. I mean, you get the gospel in a dozen different ways. Television, Facebook, Twitter, you name it. On the internet. But how many knows that everything that's out there, what was that old song, "Everything that glitters is not gold"? And everything that's preached is not the gospel. And we need to be aware of that. Do we know the Bible? One question I'd like for us to ask ourselves, do we know the Bible well enough to know a false prophet when we see one? When we listen to him a while, him or her. The false prophetess too, you know, the female. Can't even say that. Prophetess. There's false going around. And one reason is Satan pulled out all stops. We're at the end of time. Oh, I've heard that all my life. I have too. For 62 years, I've been hearing Jesus is coming soon. Well, you know what? He is. He is. I believe that everybody in this room is going to see that happen, unless we die accidentally or something. I really believe. I'm 62 years old, and I believe I'll see the second return, the rapture, I should say, of the church. I really believe that. I believe it's that close. But now that don't mean we just sit down and do nothing, does it? All right, we're in 2 Peter chapter 2, right?
Yes.
There were false teachers in Jesus' day, Paul's day, every day, including today. This is nothing new, right? In fact, there were some disciples there were some people trying to copy what the disciples were doing, if you remember, right? One of them was a sorcerer, and he even wanted to buy it. You remember that? How do I get that? He wanted to work miracles. You know, he saw the miracles taking place. And so it's been going on since the beginning of time. Peter says it this way, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. I think he's speaking to us in 2010 and 2020, or however long it lasts. I think he's saying, you need to be aware. He said, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. You know, it says, by covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. Now, you know, we see that everywhere. Again, the cults seem to be growing faster than the church sometimes. You ever notice that? Because it's a feel-good thing. You know, you tell somebody what they want to hear, they'll hang around you. But if you get up and preach the gospel like pastors do, the pastors that love God, the pastors that are teaching the truth, and yes, their church will grow too, but not like maybe another. And I'm not saying that all the big churches are wrong. No, because there's gospel going forth too. There's also great churches that's preaching the gospel and growing like crazy, you know, growing wonderfully. Maybe crazy is not a good word for that, but growing wonderfully. But we need to watch out for the false prophets. What are they teaching? Have you ever had a chance, if you're a member of a church back home, ever sit down and ask, talk to your pastor, what do you believe? Have you ever studied your denominational beliefs? I have. And in fact, I will not be a part of one unless I can agree with what they teach. That don't mean they're wrong if I don't agree with them. It just means I can't go there. But now, there are some that go all the way out into heresy or falsehood, untruth, teaching untruth. And Peter here says they're doing that. But they will not win in the long run. Again, it may look like the world is winning. Sometimes it looks like it, don't it? Looks like the evil ones are winning. Looks like they're having all the fun. But you see, their day is coming. It goes on in verse 3 to say, for a long time their judgment had been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Look at verse 4. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell. Now you know what he's talking about there when Lucifer was kicked out of heaven, right? He did not spare them, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing on a flood, and you know all that. And then said, turning Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them to destruction. He said if he didn't save them or didn't overlook that, he's not going to overlook the false prophet that's out there. And it's not our job to go witch hunting, by the way. I'm sorry, but God didn't call me to go witch hunting. It's not my business that, you know, to publicly denounce somebody. Now, of course, if you ask me, if I know somebody's in heresy and you ask me, I have to tell you, you know. But there's too much witch hunting going on too. We need to build our lives on the Word of God, and then we'll know whether we're reading out the right place in the Bible or not. We'll know. Turn to Luke chapter 6. I hope I got that right. Let me look at my Bible. I'm not going to go by my notes anymore. Luke chapter 6, page 63. Luke chapter 6. I better start checking it, hadn't I? Starting in verse 43. I tell you what, let's start at 46. Verse 46. Jesus speaking here, by the way. He said, "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he's like." Watch this now. This is our lesson right here. This is where our life needs to be. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. Anybody ever been involved in building anything, any kind of a building? I know when they built the office over there, they were sitting on an asphalt parking lot. But we didn't build on the asphalt. We didn't build on that. They dug all that out and dug down about 32 inches or so down to get the solid ground. And there they poured the concrete and created the foundation. He said here, it's like a man that dug and laid the foundation on the rock. Now, what is the rock here symbolic of, or I should say who? Who? Jesus, that's right. Build our whole life, our foundation should be Jesus Christ. It said, the flood arose, the stream beat against that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. Now, verse 49, though. Here's the false prophets. Here's the false teachers. Here's the people that's not living according to the word of God. It said, but he who heard it and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat, and immediately it fell. Why? Why did it fall? Because it had no foundation. What will happen to our life, you suppose, if we have no foundation? If it's not built on the word of God, it'll fall apart. A marriage will fall apart. We've heard hundreds of stories of that marriage is falling apart because God's not in it, you know. But it's not just marriages. Can you imagine going out and building a house and just get on dirt and start building? You know, that'd be ridiculous. Nobody does that. But rather we get a good, firm foundation, and so it is with our lives. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7. Make sure that's right. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Here again, he's saying in Luke chapter 6, verse 46, he said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord?" Here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, he said, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but who will enter?" What does that say? He who does the will of my Father. What does that mean? That means the ones that built their life on the rock, built their life on Jesus Christ, and live according to the Word. Many times we've said, you know, being born again is the beginning. Not the end, the beginning. We're born again, we change. In fact, the word repent means to turn around. It literally means to go the other direction. When we're born again, we become a Christian, of course, and then we start building that life on God. Before that, we'd probably like the guy building on earth, right? We'd build on everything but God. We build on our intellect. You know, we think we got it together. We build on knowledge or whatever, but it's not God. And he says here, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we have prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name. You know, we've done all these things. We've done all this stuff. Been to church, I got Sunday school pens. for 30 years, perfect attendance. Never missed a day. I tithed every week. I've done all of this. But what will he say? What does that say that Jesus will respond? Wow. Man, depart from me. I never knew you. They tell me the word knew there is the same word used in saying when Adam knew his wife Eve, as in a very intimate relationship. I dare say if you ask the next 100 drivers that walk into this truck stop, do you know God? I dare say the majority would say yes. And probably would say, I believe in God. But do you live for God? That's why I asked you, Shane, when we were talking earlier. Remember what I said? When were you born again? See, I want to establish that. When we're talking to somebody, if I'm talking to you, I want to make sure you know that you're born again. Again, the very, very, very basic. And if you are born again, then I'm going to see that fruit in your life. Now, some of the old takes a while to die off. We're not never be perfect. I start to say we're not perfect right away. We'll never be perfect, but we should be seeing some changes. Amen? If you've been born again for a while and none of the habits that you used to do have left, then you need to go back to the cross. You need to go back there and say, wait a minute, maybe I didn't commit to Christ after all. One of the things I have learned in my few short years of serving God since 71 is that he won't take anything that I don't give him. He won't take an area of my life that I don't let him have. And I think that's what's wrong with a lot of people we might call a false teacher is they probably want to. They probably even might even think they're doing right. Because they apologize, I'll call it, apologize for sin rather than repenting. Big difference. A person apologizes when they're sorry they got caught. They repent when they're sorry they did it. Amen? Think about that. There's a big difference in that. Jesus, you know, that would, I can't think of anything any worse to hear than to hear Jesus say, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me. I know I'm not going to hear that. How do I know that? Because of what the Bible says, I have done to become born again. Not what some school taught me. Not what the church taught me, even though I learned it in church. But it came from the Bible. It wasn't from somebody's opinion. In fact, I was told of a place the other day, and don't bother asking me. I'm not going to tell you where it was at. Chaplain in a truck stop. Thank God it wasn't one of ours. That's the first thing I ask him. He made the announcement, we don't need the Bible. Time to get up and leave. We don't need the Bible anymore. Whoa. There'll never be the day when we don't need the Bible. There'll never be the day. Gene was talking earlier how he spent so much time here, and he said sitting where it's cool here in the chapel and read the Bible over and over. He said he got so bored he listened to several of our teaching tapes one day. That's pretty bad.
All of them.
All of them. He listened to, but you know what? Back to our subject is if we really know Jesus personally, everybody around us is going to see that. That don't mean we'll walk around quoting scripture necessarily. It don't mean that none of that, but our lives, the things in our life will be changing. Notice again with me, who Jesus said will enter the kingdom of heaven. He who does the will of my Father, does as in ongoing, not did, not did, not have been, once upon a time, who does, should be able to see that every day, day in and day out in our life. Question we need to ask ourselves, and I ask myself, does that describe me? Would somebody say, that guy does the will of God? He lives for God. I'm talking about all the time, not just here in the chapel. Day in and day out. That day when I tore my finger wide open out there with a hammer, I said, ouch. The old days, it would have been a little different. But you know what? I am so thankful to God because that never come in my mind to say that. My first thought was, honestly, is I hope it ain't broke. It hits the heart. It actually numbed it. I didn't feel anything. But it was tore wide open. Some of you know the story. It's still kind of numb in that joint. But the old days, and sometimes people, they say they slip and curse. Maybe that's a growing process for them. Maybe they hadn't grown in that area. But it should be growing out of that. Amen? I slip and do this. I goof up and do that. Well, let's pray for strength in that area for you. And we all got areas we need strength in. I mean, you know, nobody's perfect. If you can't be described as someone who does the will of God, living the Christian life, you could very easily become a victim of a false teacher. Because, see, they've got great charisma. I mean, they do. And you get swept up in that because it sounds so good. The only way to safeguard ourselves against that is to know the Word of God, know what it says, so that when I read it from the wrong place, no, that's not bad, but when somebody misquotes it, when somebody says the Bible says and it don't, that's what you need to know. Now, I have been in a position, and somebody says that, I just tell them, you know, I don't know that much about it. Would you show that to me? I'm from Missouri. Show me. Right? I don't know. I even had a guy look at me and say, well, you know what the Bible says. I said, I must not. I don't remember reading that, but if you show it to me, if you show me that in the Bible, then I'll tell you I was wrong. I'm big enough to say that because I don't know it all, and neither do you, right? That's why we need one another. If that doesn't describe us, we need to spend more time in the Word. Now, the only way to understand the Word, I was looking for this scripture. I never did find it. It's in Peter, 1st or 2nd. I can't remember where it talks about the Bible was written, I think, one version says by holy men of old as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. One says as they were led by the Holy Spirit. This book was Holy Spirit inspired. The men that wrote this book was led or inspired by the Holy Spirit. What I want to say by that is the only way possible to understand this book is being inspired or led by the same Holy Spirit. I mean, we sit around talk trucking and we know, I mean, you know, we know all about that stuff. And we know when the smoke blowing starts, right? Those of us that's been around a while, we know all about, no, that didn't happen, right? No, you didn't go off the mountain with no brakes or whatever. Same thing in the Bible. It could be very convincing. There's a lot of people out here on the road. Satan has planted people. Gene spends a lot of time on the road. His ministry is on the road, but he's out sharing the Word of God. But then there's also those sharing everything else, saying that the Bible says, and they can sound good, see. The Bible says this, the Bible says that. Where? You will never insult me by asking me, where did you get that? You'll never insult me by doing that. If it's not made clear, I prefer you to say, where did that come from? Where did you get that? Okay, let's sit down and look at it. Let's look at that. Because if you say something against one of the cults, chances are they're going to ask you, where'd you get it? So you need to know. And when I say that, I don't criticize anybody. But if you talk against what they teach, shall we say, don't call their name. That don't help nothing. Make people mad. But I want them to know the truth. So where do we start? We need to start with that born-again experience. And just in case someone's listening to this CD or here that's not absolutely sure that you're born again, let's look at what the Bible says to be born again. One thing I do know is 1 John 1:9. Somebody find that and read it for me. Look at there. It opened up to it. That's pretty good. Opened up to it right at the right place. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what?
All unrighteousness.
All unrighteousness. What have we got to do?
Confess our sins.
Confess our sins. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing's required. You can't buy it. You can't. It doesn't require baptism. It doesn't require anything except confess your sins. If you've done that, if you've come to a point in your life and said, God, I know I'm a sinner, or whatever, and confess that, then His promise is in the latter part of that verse where He says He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. That's the part I like. Forgiving is one thing. I think of cleansing, you know, like when I used to get out and bush hog, cut my grass. And man, I sweat. They say sweating is healthy. I ought to be the healthiest person on earth. I mean, you know. And I come in the house and get in the shower, and I just feel so good after that shower. You know how that is? I remember December the 19th, 1971, at an independent Baptist church in Middle Georgia, in Dublin, Georgia, Northside Independent Baptist Church. And I went forward to that and told the preacher, I said, I got to change my life. That's all I said. Of course, I couldn't change my life, right? If I could have done it, I would have done it. But he didn't give me a bunch of theology. He said two words. I remember like it was yesterday. I could see Brother Clyde Bowen standing in front of me, and he said two words. He said, let's pray. That's what we needed to do, is pray. And I poured out my heart to God that night. I will never forget that. When I stood up, I felt that clean, like coming out of the shower. I felt it from the inside to the outside, you know. And God cleansed me and saved me, just like He did you or will you when you get to that point in your life. It's a cleansing. Now, right after that, we got to make another step. We got to get in the Word. Because all that sin, all that stuff has been removed from our heart. There's a big void there. The Bible teaches that if we don't fill it back with the Word of God, Satan's going to come back with all kind of more garbage and put in there. Because there's an emptiness. There's a void. There's nothing. It's empty. So we need to get real busy and start filling it back with the Bible. If you don't read the Bible, if you don't listen to the Bible, and y'all heard me talk about listening versus reading, if you don't hear the Word, that void won't get filled, because what you see, remember, what you see goes where? In your mind. What you hear goes where? In your spirit. That's right. In your spirit, man. And that's where the sin was removed from, so just reading it won't get it there. We need to Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by. So we need to hear it. I want to close tonight, but that's like I always do. Been here before. We're going to pray a little prayer together. And maybe nobody here needs to. Maybe the people listening to the CD might. And I always put it on there, just in case. But I'll ask you to repeat it with me, as I always do. Because if you don't mean it from your heart, it won't do nothing. You say, well, I've already done that. I don't need to pray. If you're born again, great. I just want to make sure. Absolutely sure. Could we do that? Pray this with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I ask you, Lord, to forgive my sins. Come into my heart and help me to be the kind of Christian that you want me to be. I'll live for you to the best of my ability. I'll read your word. I believe your word. I receive your word. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me of my sins and cleansing me from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.